It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, where for the past, I guess it's been about 7 years now, I've been helping people understand the complexity of who we are as human beings. And each week I explain that definitely we're physical, definitely we're emotional. All you have to do is look around you today and you'll see the emotions. They're right there, front and center. But we're also spiritual beings and we're intellectual beings or mental beings. And so it's keeping all four of those facets in balance that really give you your best life. And if you've ever sat at a table that is wobbly, you know how annoying it is. And most of the time people either put a napkin or they put a, you know, like a book of matches or something under it to keep it from wobbling during dinner or lunch. Well, we can't do that with our lives. It would be nice if we could, but we really can't balance it that way. And so we need to look at things like our diet, the amount of sleep we have. Are we using nutritionals? Are we exercising? You know, what kind of purpose do we have in our life? And all these other things to keep our lives more in balance. So I have as a returning guest, Troy Malicote. And Troy and I are going to be talking about AI and the human experience. Before we get started, just a reminder that all of the shows are archived on Synergy Connection Radio. There's over 400 of them, so you can browse and read the synopsis and kind of make a determination as to whether you want to be listening to a particular guest on a particular topic. Also, there is a link to Boomers Forever Young. I have been using their products for 8 years now. I know it kept me incredibly healthy through COVID. And of course, you know, now that I'm living back in Wisconsin, I'm facing my first winter in, 24 years. And so I'm making sure that my D3 level is high, that my C-reactive protein level is low, that's your inflammation in your body. And just in general, making sure that I'm taking the right supplements to keep me healthy through my first winter in a very long time. And I'm kind of looking forward to putting on coats and boots and things like that. Although people in Florida went, "Are you crazy? You're moving back to the winters?" And I'm like, I really love the seasons. And so, yes, it's fun to be home in my estimation. If you decide that there's anything on the Boomer website that catches your eye, maybe it'll be the Myotrol, the new product. Maybe it'll be one of the barleys. Heirloom barley takes out inflammation. Gladiator barley actually builds muscle. So if there's anything there that you want, in the discount code box, if you just put my first name, L-U-C-Y, and you're going to get 15% off. So I hope you check them out. Everything is 60-day guarantee. All right. Hi, Trey.
Hello, Lucy. It's so nice to see you. And I am so thrilled today because I've been nerding out on AI, and I think I've got some things that might be interesting for us to talk about. So thanks for having me today.
Oh, you bet. I'm anxious to hear what you have to say. I know some people think about AI as, you know, almost like getting into your life too much, you know, and kind of understanding all the nuances of who you are, which is a little bit spooky. Uh-huh. But what are you finding out about AI?
Oh, sister, you know, let me start with the ship has already left the harbor.
And so, where's the destination?
Yeah, what I mean by that is that I'm finding so many people thinking things like you just said, oh, it's getting in our lives too much, or we're not sure about it. When I say the ship has left the harbor, AI is careening down the highway at us so quickly that we're now at a point where people our age, your age, my age, we're not going to really have that much of an impact from it. But the folks that are a bit younger than us, It is going to be the single greatest revolutionary change we've seen since the advent of the internet, the cell phone, the automobile, air travel. This is going to change the very existence of humanity. Okay, I know I sound slightly enthusiastic about that. So let me give you a perspective. So I've been using AI for about 3 years now, and basically, you know, just typing questions or exploring book ideas, or I use it for a lot of different things. And last night I sat down with it and I said, please provide a comprehensive psychological and functional profile of me. And when I did, what spewed back at me was so accurate that it was terrifying.
Wow. And where did they
Yeah.
get the information? Just going online?
No, well, it scanned everything about me in the world, internet world. It
Wow.
has accumulated knowledge and wisdom about how I ask questions, the things I've worked on, the things. It has aggregated all sorts of data points, and it gave me a better psychological evaluation than I have ever had in my life. Now,
No.
that being said, that was a little alarming and unnerving, which led me down the highway. I've been in this space for a couple of weeks now, just thinking about what's the impact. And what I want to chat with you today about is, what's AI going to do to humanity, humans, physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, socially, financially, and then relationally, families, right? And what is coming out in the research right now is really, really slightly troubling. Or for those of us who've worked in the trauma space, like you and I, we are about to enter the era of complete and profound dysregulation. You know what that means. I know what that means. And if it's not crazy enough in the world today, what I'd like to predict is that we can amplify or multiply what we're seeing in terms of dysregulation by a multiplier of 100.
Holy cow.
Yeah, okay, so let me give you some facts. First of all, let's dive in physically what potentially is going to happen. And so I want to give you three different research studies, and I won't cite them and all that, but one is from the World Health Organization that indicated that physical inactivity is becoming the fourth leading risk factor for global mortality. And as digital patterns change, our interface with digital functioning, what we're going to see is our inactivity level is going to increase exponentially. Second study is a Harvard Medical School study that indicates that decrease is going to be 31% decrease in physical activity.
Oh, and that's horrible for your heart, your circulation, everything.
Horrible for everything. But, you know, I love how you look at the physical impact on the human. I look at that and I'm also saying this has the potential to cripple our American healthcare system.
Yes, it does.
Right? Okay. The third interesting fact is out of a study from Stanford showing that sleep disturbances, screen fatigue, and sensory overload are going to explode. Okay. Now, that being said, what that really means is we're going to have reduced neuromuscular health. We're going to have increased chronic illness, obesity, heart disease, etc. We're going to have increased prevalence of emotional and physiological dysregulation, and we're going to see higher cortisol and adrenal fatigue patterns. Okay. Now, that sounds pretty bad to me, right?
Yep.
So what I'm going to predict is that we're going to have to see businesses that help people do things to regulate themselves physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, and socially, right? And you and I have been talking about this for years. This is nothing new. Now, here's the next more troubling thing. And I don't want this podcast to be all about what is potentially going to be bad. What I would rather look at is, here's what the research is telling us. This is what we can predict. And how can we prepare as human beings to respond to it? So, for instance, right now, practical tip of the day. Physically, move your body. Put yourself on a regular sleep routine. Put yourself on supplements and health and wellness products that keep you feeling young and vital and happy and healthy. Mm-hmm. Watch the crap you're putting in your mouth. Sorry for the profanity, but our food is no longer food. We need to start buying food again from markets and places where it's not pumped full of the antibiotics, etc. Now, transitioning slightly, physically, what I want people to do is just get back to basics. Get back to basics of eating well, sleeping well, moving your body, and we've got to do it. If we don't do it, we're going to get fatter and we're going to die earlier.
Right. Okay. I mean, those are your choices, get healthy or die.
Yeah. And this will accelerate it. When I look at all seven of these different areas, what it's going to point to is we're going to evolve so rapidly, but we're going to have enormous health problems along the way, both mental and physical. So let me pivot slightly to the emotional impact. And, you know, I've noticed this a little bit. It's been really weird because as a therapist, you know, as well as I do, that sometimes there's nobody to listen to us. And so I've been using AI as my own therapist. I love it. I think it's incredibly helpful. I've even created a whole AI of myself, a digital version that people can use, which is as accurate, if not, well, it's more accurate than me, right? Mm-hmm. But emotionally, what I'm also noticing is that it causes a sense of displacement and relational connection and relational intimacy. Relational emptiness is what it's really causing, mm-hmm. right? Because when we talk to a therapist or a friend or a family member, we actually have a human that's saying, yeah, I get it. And when we talk to AI, we have a digital version of someone saying, yeah, I get it, but they don't fully understand, right?
But I did see something, and I'm trying to remember the show. It might have been like CBS Sunday Morning or something like that. But I saw a lady who was unable to get out of her home. She had a lot of health issues. Right. And so she had no friends that were really visiting, and she wasn't getting out. And so her isolation was just enormous. And she had a place where she could call an AI person.
Yep.
And have this conversation with the AI person multiple times throughout the day, which she did. And it wasn't charging her anything. One of the big issues for so many people with therapy is because of managed care, they get 12 sessions and then they're done for the year. Well, if you've got a serious mental health issue, you're not going to get it fixed in 12 issues.
That's right.
And people can't afford to continue financially in today's economy.
Exactly right. Well, that what you're illustrating is the dichotomy. I think that AI has incredibly helpful therapeutic value. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've noticed in my office, I have two monitors, one in which I'm working with people, another monitor in which I'm doing real-time research. Tell me about these circumstances. What type of interactions would these medications have? How can I, you know, using it real-time to be better as a therapist, which mm-hmm. I think is improving my work.
Right.
And I do think there's innate value in having somebody to talk to. But the problem is that I think we're going to see a rise in chronic anxiety, a rise in disassociation.
Wow, that would be seriously.
And, right. And a rise in attachment dysregulation. Now, that's because when you're working with a therapist or a friend or somebody else, they can call you on your BS a little bit. Mm-hmm. AI is not going to do that. AI is going to be hyper rational, right? Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes, as you and I both know, humans are about the most irrational creatures on the face of the planet, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so where we land is in this emotional fertile ground where people just need somebody to hold space for them. And I don't think that's going to be an AI, but I do think it's going to be helpful with folks that are lonely or isolated or even problems. There's a whole host of things, right?
Here's another one of the big issues that I see coming, and I'm sure you do too, is they're closing all of these kind of remote clinics uh-huh. all across America. They're closing them. So people now have to drive maybe an hour or more. Yeah. Well, it's one thing to drive an hour or more to see your doctor because of cardiovascular issues.
Right.
People are going to maybe choose not to drive an hour or more if it's anxiety or depression, which will then make them spiral even more downward.
That's exactly right. I think it's going to compound. Well, I think it's actually got the potential. Actually, it's not even a potential. I predict that AI will completely break the mental health establishment as we know it. Right? I
What
mean,
these people do that are, like, for instance, on Medicaid that have serious mental health issues.
yeah. I think that the tsunami of mental health need brought about by AI is going to tax the system so much that people will resort to AI for any type of support. Right? But folks like you and I, we better figure out how to integrate and use it. And the days of us fighting against it, I get such a kick when I started with you today. I said, the boat's already out of the harbor. We can't, I see universities, for instance, trying to regulate plagiarism, right? Sorry, guys, you should have thought of that 7, 8, 10 years ago. I see therapists saying it doesn't preserve the intent. I'm sorry, guess what? It's already here, right? And I would much rather people be in a responsive rather than a reactive approach to that. Now, as we think about the third area, so physically, emotionally, the third one, which on a level really strikes a greater sense of fear in me, is that it's going to impact us spiritually. And what I think is going to happen is, the hard work of doing the existential journey of humanity, right? Viktor Frankl called it man's search for meaning, right? The very innate need we have to make meaning of our worlds, make meaning of our relationships, who we are, our identity, all of those types of things are going to literally be stripped away. Here's why I think this, because if you have an interactive digital relationship, that digital relationship is going to provide the rational, logical, and brilliant factual information you need, while at the same time, you and I both know that there are age-old traditions through cultures since the dawn of humanity where men and women have gone on a existential pilgrimage in order to find their way in life, right? The vision quest, for instance, that's about a man stepping into his sense of strength and masculinity as a grown man, but it's really about being in the desert for 40 days, metaphorically, and figuring out who you really are, right? And when you look at the spiritual traditions, almost every spiritual tradition writes about something related to the dark night of the soul, right? You've heard that concept.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, from Catholicism to Sufism. And this dark night of the soul, really, in my opinion, is when a person, a human, is forced to ask the existential questions. What's the meaning of life? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there suffering in the world? Why do I live? Why do I exist? If we don't ask those questions, we become cyborgs, so to speak. Right? Now, to nerd out with you, tiny bit. I also think that the convergence of AI and the stripping away of this existential process, partnered with virtual reality, augmented reality, social media, what we're going to see are people that have no sense of human identity.
Right, because everybody's telling them what they should be.
Exactly. And so the uniqueness of who we are as humans, I think is un it's at a risk right now. So, spiritually, what I want to invite people to do is realize, well, here's a perfect fact. The World Economic Forum reported that 71% of people under the age of 35 questioned the purpose of human creativity in a world where AI can generate divinely inspired content. Now, you hear what that really means. When you strip away the essence of creativity, what you're doing is stripping away the human's ability to navigate the world in their own brilliant, beautiful, unique way.
Well, you lose the soul of the person.
There you go. It's exactly what I'm talking about. Right?
Now,
So if
I
we're
mean,
at that, I'm sorry, go ahead. Forgive
well, I
me.
was just thinking all these movies where humans are being ordered around by AI, futuristic movies,
That's right.
of being told, this is who you are, this is what you're all about. And we make that decision, meaning AI makes that decision.
That's exactly right. Well, what you're really driving at is the fragmentation of human to human sacredness, the value of relationships, the value of holding space with your friend who's a little messy, because you're going to learn the lessons of holding space while at the same time dealing with your own messiness, while at the same time being supportive and encouraging. That's all going to go away. Right? Okay, so now I'm sounding really, really bad. And so let me talk about what I think is going to happen intellectually. We're going to see a massive amount of information as we already have, but what it's going to do is erode the depths of knowledge. So people are only going to go so deep into their perspectives, and they're going to stop thinking about what does this really mean and how does that play out and how will that impact humanity. Our problem solving, higher executive functioning, I think, is at risk because we will no longer need higher executive functioning.
Yeah, they're going to turn it all over to AI. They'll
That's
do it
right.
for you.
That's right. So, ultimately, 70% of white collar workers rely on AI tools for content creation, policy development, data synthesis, writing. This is already happening in the world right now, right? And when you look at what that really means, another study came out that showed a decline in analytical and inferential testing scores across all learning disciplines. And so what that means to me is people are not going to be able to problem solve, work themselves out of situations. They will rely on something that will tell them algorithmically what the right path is, but humanity and algorithms are not the same thing,
No.
right? So it's stripping away humanity, right?
Animals are going to be smarter than we are.
Well, think about it like this. We're going to have a whole lot of superficial information and a whole lot of laziness, right? Let me give you an example. I'm sorry.
Having the skills to navigate, let's say that you were lost in the woods. If you didn't have AI there to tell you how to get out,
Yeah, right.
You're stuck because you never learned
Exactly.
how to figure it out.
Exactly. And play that out. If we were to have a digital experience where everything was shut down and you were stuck in the woods or even in your car trying to figure out how to get to the Safeway, you might not know how to do it. So what I want you to think about is surface level knowledge and increased intellectual laziness. Let me give you an example. I'm working on a book right now on regulation, your nervous system regulation. And so over the last week, I have created four versions of said book that came out of the AI systems as beautifully, almost print-ready documents that I read and I said, wow, this is really great, but it's only about 7 inches deep. And so I had this crisis of identity. Okay, do I put this out into the market? Do I make money off of this? It's good information, but does it really truly reflect my wisdom, my knowledge, my abilities, and my perspectives? And I landed yesterday realizing that if I produce something like that, I literally have to go back into it and put the humanity into the materials.
Right, because it's just factual.
Yeah, right. And when you look at the rich lineage and history of storytelling, which has been passed on since the days of cavemen, the act of storytelling is how we perpetuate our humanity,
Exactly.
right?
I mean, technically, with everything you're saying, we could be on the verge of losing our humanity.
We will. My hope is that it's going to rise, because with every action, there's an opposite action, right? And so when I think about what's happening, going to happen socially, and you're hitting on this, I think we're going to have hyper individualized echo chambers that people exist in, where they have lots of thought and lots of perspective. We're already seeing this right now when you look at the political landscape. The Republicans and the Democrats are in two different echo chambers. And the reality is we shall not cross those echo chambers because our algorithms will not allow it, right? And so there's going to be more social polarization. And what that ultimately is going to do that concerns me most is that it's going to undermine our sense of empathy and our sense of shared reality, right? Now put your brain around that one. If we strip away empathy, in fact, I developed a program years ago in a maximum security prison system, helping inmates deal with their fellow inmates who were terminally ill. And Lucy, what we were teaching them was not caregiving. We were teaching them empathy. And without empathy, our humanity dies.
Right. And that's the sociopath looking at the world saying, I can do what I want to do when I want to do it.
And that's exactly, you dialed it in right there. You see what I'm talking about. Okay, now let me go on two more, and then we're going to turn the corner and say, what do humans need to do? How much time do we still have left?
We have about 10, 12 more minutes.
Good. I'm so excited. We're going to fill every second of it. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, you said, oh my gosh, Trey can actually fill that much time.
I know you can.
I'm teasing. All right, so let's think about the financial impact. I heard someone say yesterday that right now we're in the middle of a gold rush and the majority of people do not even know where to look for the gold. Now, what I think is going to happen is a disproportionate income level, the wage gap is going to get much higher. The people who understand AI will be the ones that have the massive wealth. And those of us that aren't on the AI highway, we're going to struggle. In fact, every single client I have under the age of 30, I say, I don't care where you are, or what you're doing. The days of academics, as we've known them, universities are over. You must do everything in your power to equip for AI, because if you don't, you will be left in the dirt financially. Okay. Now, let me give you a practical example of that. It used to take me, in preparation for a podcast like this, I would work for a day or two to make good information and, you know, research things. And now it would take me less than 10 minutes. Right? That's crazy. Okay, so what does this all mean? Well, this means that there's going to be a two-tiered economy. Folks that are AI aware and folks that aren't. And those that are not, it's going to be a problem. Now, here's the worst part of the equation. It's going to cause workforces to need to be reskilled, trauma-informed models that help us understand that the experience of digital shifting is causing trauma. And this is kind of the space I'm in at any given time. And financially, we are going to reach a point where there will be no need for humans. Now, I know that sounds inflammatory, and I'll tell you where that comes from. Partially my own brain. Secondarily, from an interview that I heard with the four top leading experts in the AI space. Sam Altman, these are the guys that are the CEOs of the CEOs for companies like Meta. Right. And every one of those people in that conversation said that we're going to have a 40 to 50% complete displacement of our workforce within 5 years. Now, I don't think it's going to come that quickly, but if think about it like this, if 50% theoretically of all the people we know no longer have a job, how's that going to ripple?
My goodness. I mean, real estate, big time.
Everything, it'll ripple through every aspect of society.
All industries that require people to have money to go buy something. The people don't have the money, so therefore they're not buying.
Exactly right. Yeah. So it's going to have ripples across the board. Now, what I want to look at is what's it going to do to relationships and families? And I think it's going to really, when you look at the generational differences between people our age and someone in their 20s, that difference already exists. We don't communicate the same way, but when a younger person has access to information and they didn't have to learn it the way we learned it, however, that information is better than the information we have, what that's going to do is increase the level of estrangement, which, by the way, is on the rise in the United States at least. We're going to see different deeper polarizations among family members. We're going to see increased so the folks that are AI sensitive versus the folks that aren't, there will be a disparity of diff a massive difference between how people communicate, how they function, and even the language they use. Here's a funny example. Have you ever heard the word bespoke?
No.
Okay, well, here's a lovely, interesting thing. I was telling my partner the other day, I see this word bespoke everywhere. Bespoke is a word that was used in the 1800s, which means custom tailored specifically for you, designed for you. And yet that piece of language went away. That word no longer served a purpose. AI has regenerated the word bespoke, and we're now seeing it in the vernacular, but people don't even know what it means.
Huh. And how are they using it? Like the same way that it's customized for you?
They just don't, they don't know the history of it. The language literally dropped away. And now, because of AI, we're learning new language, new perspectives, new, you know, and I think the ripple effect of that is going to mean a rise in disconnection between parents and children, especially around emotional issues. It's going to cause dependency on AI for communication. In fact, I have a client right now that says he does not write a single email or into any human interaction without having AI do it first.
Do you know, I can tell you that I know several people that will not get into the car and go, even though they maybe have been to a location before, because their brain has not trained them how to find that place again. They won't get into the car without putting it into Google Maps or something like that to get there again. So we have become incredibly dependent on technology. And we are losing the ability to find our way out of a paper bag.
That's right. Okay, so let me nail it down in seven specific things we must work toward, and I'll do this quickly. Number one, physical embodiment. We need to get back in our bodies. We need to get back into nature. We need to understand what goes in comes out. Are you putting poison in? Are you going to get poison out? We need to be able to feel grounded in our essence. And that's all the stuff we've learned around physical embodiment. We need to work toward that right now. In fact, I'm telling every client I have, get in your body, whether it's yoga or dance or whatever it may be. Okay. Second thing, we've got to learn emotional regulation. That's why I'm working on this book right now. Do you know every one of my clients in 1 week, it was so weird. Every client said, I'm feeling completely dysregulated. What do you have to offer me? And that's a theme I'm seeing with my friends and, workmates. And so it's about emotional regulation. And here's the funny thing. We as mental health practitioners, and I'm going to slam us for a minute, we weren't taught the language of emotional regulation. We weren't taught the interplay between the physical and the mental aspects of humanity, mind-body interaction. We weren't taught the parasympathetic versus the sympathetic nerve. That wasn't stuff that was in my graduate program, was it yours? No. And we're cranking out therapists and mental health practitioners, and we're just scratching the surface. You know, I do a lot of training around trauma, and I'm amazed. I have had 3,000 students take one of my trauma classes, and these are high-level professionals, PhD level people. And the comments are, I've never learned this information. This is amazing. And that's not, I'm not bragging. I'm saying, there's a knowledge deficit around emotional regulation, and we've got to fill that gap, right? And emotional regulation is not about the woo-woo nature nugget, tree-hugging folks singing kumbaya in the woods in a yoga stance. It's about what do you do in the moment to calm yourself down, right? Okay, third thing, spiritual connection. And the days of that being found in a church, I'm not sure exists anymore. Maybe a little bit, but unfortunately, the Pew Research Institute is telling us that institutional religions are dying on the vine.
They
and
are.
right. And so what we've got to do is figure out ways to have spiritually meaningful conversations. Here's an interesting little fact. I threw up on Facebook a post yesterday, and I said it was with a group of other men in the community. I said, my partner and I are thinking about doing a monthly potluck. Who's interested? 35 men within 1 hour, Lucy.
Really?
Which tells me that people are screaming for humanity, screaming for connection. We need intellectual depth. We need to understand what's happening in our worlds around us. We need to be able to make money and feel good about it. And we don't even know what that's going to be. And we need to learn to be relationally present. I'm reminded of how we met, and then I'll tie the bow on this. Okay. It wasn't how we met initially, I don't think, but I remember one day very deliberately in my mind where you and I sat and had a beautiful cup of coffee with a guy who made ice cubes out of coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. Coffee.
And what you and I did was simply bear witness to one another, get to know each other, appreciate the humanity of each other. And that, I believe, tying a bow on all of this, I don't want people to be afraid of AI because it's already here.
Yeah, you can't be afraid of it.
No, but I do think we better get real serious about the things that I've been chatting about today. What are your thoughts? Have I just thrown too much at you?
No. I think it's exactly what I have been watching really for the last, in particular, year, because of doing a podcast. And we get so much from our computer because we can go on and listen to YouTube videos and we can go on and get research that we're not getting it from each other by discussions. And if we can't challenge each other, if we can't take a topic and really kind of dissect it and share our thoughts and feelings, which is what's happening. A lot of times you can only share with like-minded people, let's put it that way. And the people have lost the art of discussion because it's either my way or the highway.
That's right.
So AI doesn't help us resolve that. That's why Putin and Trump and Zelensky are having their issues, is because they're so much into just information and the humanity is gone. I mean, they're killing people left and right, but they're not seeing the humanity of death and dying and what that's doing. They're just seeing power. And this is what I want. And unfortunately, AI isn't going to fix that.
No, if anything, it's going to make it worse.
Yeah, it may make it worse. So we, you and I have a lot of work to do to help people get healthy, at least enough that they can grapple with what's, coming down the road, because it is coming. And, it is, the light is the train.
That's right.
So, you don't want the train to hit you. So let's, make sure that we get prepared the best way we know how, by having a support system, by being healthy, by, exercising, sleeping, maybe using some of the core principles that, what is it, the, where everybody lives to be over 100.
Sardinia.
Some of their core principles, that's what allows them to have longevity. Is that they're doing the things to keep each one of them and their families, healthier. And we're going to have to do that with our future the way it's looking at this moment.
That's right. Do you have time for one more story?
I sure do. Go ahead.
Okay. So my dear friend Kevin Parker was in the Columbine High School shooting. And at the time I just started my career, I was maybe 3 years into my career as a traumatologist. And So he called one day and he said, "Trey, I have a bunch of kids, but one young man specifically." Kevin was a counselor at the school, and he said, "I've got these kids coming over tonight. One kid in particular, I don't really know what to say to and how to best support him. And he's coming over early." I said, "Kevin, here's what I want you to do. Hear his whole story." He said, "What?" I said, "Just simply bear witness, hear his whole story." And so Byron, this young man, came over, and Kevin and Byron were on the patio. And Kevin looked at him and he said, "You know, Byron, I would like to hear your whole story." And Byron began to tell details, and then he stopped. Then Kevin looked at him and he said, "Now, Byron, I want to hear your whole story." And Byron told more details about his mother and the abuse in his life and the challenges with his three siblings, and then he stopped. And then Kevin looked at him and he said, "Byron, I want to hear your whole story." And more details came forth. And then on the fifth iteration, "Byron, I want to hear your whole story." Byron looked at him and a tear began to stream down his face. And in that moment, Kevin realized that when we bear witness to one another, when we hear the whole story, that gives the fertile ground for the emotional healing and the relational connection that will help us navigate this storm.
That is a beautiful way to end. Wow.
Thank you for hearing my whole story, Lucy.
You bet. You bet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, everyone, please do share this story with your friends and family. Let them understand how AI will be impacting their future, but more importantly, what they can do to be prepared. And to bear witness to one another, to not lose the human connection, because that's what we're really talking about, I think, is having that human connection in our lives going forward and not relying on AI to be the person making our decisions.
There you go. Hey, Lucy, thanks so much. I hope you have a beautiful, very chilly winter.
Well, I'm expecting a great fall first with lots
There
of.
you go.
I have missed the trees and the color, so I'm so excited about fall approaching. And Trey, you'll be back on the show in the future. In the meantime, you go out there and make this your best life too.
Thank you, doll. Have a great weekend. See you later.
You
Okay.
bet. All
Bye.
right, everyone. We'll see you next week. Make it your best life.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.